Now today, our study brings us to the 9th chapter, and we are in this section where it's concerning Christian liberty. Now, we saw that last time related specifically to the question of eating meat, and that was one of the questions that the Corinthian believers had brought up. And it applied specifically to Corinth of that day because the sacrifices were brought in to the heathen gods. Then the meat of the sacrifice was offered for sale in the shambles of the day. And many of the Christians were offended by eating meat offered to idols. Yet Paul says in Christian liberty, whether you eat meat or don't eat meat makes no difference, and after all, an idol is nothing. So it would make no difference whether you ate meat or not, and it wouldn't make any difference whether you ate meat offered to idol. There's only one problem, and that one problem was just simply this. The question is, would it affect my friend, my neighbor? Would I cause him to stumble? And therefore, we are going to find and have already found that liberty is limited. There is a limitation on our liberty. And if I may put it in a rather crude manner, you have a perfect right to swing your fist any way you want to. But where my nose begins, that's where your liberty ends. You can swing it any way you want to, but you got to leave my nose alone. I hope you will. Now, we find that Paul puts down this great principle for the believer. Back in chapter 6, he said, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I'll not be brought under the power of any. And then again, over in chapter 10, at verse 23, he'll say it again. All things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but each his neighbor's good. Therefore, whatever's sold in the shambles, eat. But if I have my neighbor in for dinner and he's offended by it, I should not have that. My Christian liberty has its limitations, and this is the way that it is. Now, Paul is going to illustrate this matter of Christian liberty in another field and in a very personal field, and it has to do with two things, and that is it has to do with his right as an apostle, and I probably should say his official right. His right as an apostle in a very definite way. Then he's going to deal with his right to be supported by the church. He had a right to expect the church would care for him and all of his carnal affairs and as a preacher of the gospel. And that, may I say, is very personal, but Paul deals with that in this chapter, and it illustrates Christian liberty. Now, will you notice in the first one, he defends his official right as an apostle. And he begins, because Paul was in the habit of defending his apostleship, he had to, because it was challenged in many places. Now, in Corinth, he begins in chapter 9, verse 1, am I not an apostle? And the answer, of course, is, yes, Paul, you are an apostle. That's the way the question is asked. That's the answer, and the only answer that will satisfy this question. Now he says, am I not free? And the answer is yes. Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? That was the test of an apostle. That was the test that he had to pass. And Paul had passed that test. And he says, are not ye my work in the Lord? That was the evidence of his apostleship. And then he defends that. He says in verse 2, if I be not an apostle unto others, but he was, but this is the if of condition, yet doubtless I am to you, for the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. So that, as far as the Corinthian church is concerned, he didn't have to defend his apostleship. It was evident to the Christians there that he was an apostle. Now he says, "Mine answer to them that do examine me is this." And the word "answer" here, actually in the Greek, the word means defense. "My defense to them that do examine me is this." It's as if Paul was in court. It's as if he's been charged. And now he's making a defense here. Now he moves into this realm. Verse 4, "Have we not power to eat and to drink?" Paul says, as an apostle of the Lord Jesus, I have a right to eat and to drink. And as an apostle, I have that liberty. Now that liberty is curbed and curtailed by others. The whole question is, he says, he had made the bold statement, "If meat make my brother to offend, I'll eat no flesh while the world standeth." Why? Lest I make my brother to offend. Now, he could eat it, but he's not going to. And, by the way, that is an exercise of your free will, is it not? To be able to do something and then not do it. And, in one sense, that's the higher liberty and the highest liberty that there is. Now, if you can't do anything and you don't do it, well, there's no exercise of free will there. But if you're able to do something and you don't do it, then that is a revelation of free will. Now he goes on to say, "Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord, and Cephas?" Evidently, the brethren of the Lord here were his half-brothers. James and Jude, I take it, were actually married, and out on their missionary journeys, they took a wife with them. And Paul said, "I have that freedom also." But Paul felt that his ministry would be curtailed, be hindered. Paul says, "I have that freedom." Now, if a minister, and especially if you're out in Bible conference work, if you don't take your wife, they wonder what's wrong, what's happened. And if you do take your wife, they say, well, he can't go anywhere without her. So, I mean, a preacher's in a bad way. I remember when our daughter was growing up, my wife stayed at home to take care of her. That was her first responsibility, and see that she had her clothes, went to school, and took care of her. And I'd go alone in Bible conferences, and I'd be quizzed, generally by some very curious saint, say, "Why isn't Miss McGee with you?" Well, I'd have to go into detail. Now she goes with me. My daughter's away. She's married. My wife goes with me everywhere. And I find that some of them, every now and then, I meet a curious saint. "Does your wife go with you all the time?" As if, well, can't you get rid of her or get away from her? Now I say to you, you can't win in the ministry. I found that out. But Paul is meeting that same thing. Paul said, "I have a right to take a wife with me, but I've made my decision. As we said before, we believe he's a widower." And then he goes on to say, "Are I only and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working?" Paul says, Barnabas and I could stay home. We don't have to go as missionaries. Our salvation doesn't depend on whether we are missionaries. Paul says that he's going to get to this matter now, paying the preacher. He says, "Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man? Or saith not the law the same thing? For it's written in the law of Moses, Thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen?" He says, you know, when the ox is treading out the corn, what he does is they hitch him up and he goes around in a circle, walking on the grain, and that walks the grain, causes it to come out of the chaff, and then the chaff is pitched up in the air, the wind blows it away, and the good grain falls down on the threshing floor. Now, they don't dare muzzle an oxen that does that. Why? Because oxen's working, and you got to feed him, and so he's not muzzled. Now, that's the way God takes care of the ox, and God made that law. Now, God says you're not to muzzle the preacher. You're to at least feed him. I heard the story years ago in Kentucky of a preacher who drove a very fine horse, very beautiful horse, and he himself was a very skinny fellow. And one day one of his officers asked him the question, because apparently it had been discussed, and the question was very point blank. Says, how is it, preacher, that your horse is so fine looking and you are such a skinny fellow? And the preacher says, well, I'll tell you. He says, I feed my horse. Which says, you folks are the ones that feed me. Well, may I say, I think maybe he might have had a right to say that. Paul is saying that. He's saying that here he has a right as an apostle that's fed others, for it's written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sake? Now, God not only takes care of the oxen, he said that for our sakes. No doubt this is written that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we've sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing that we shall reap your carnal things? Now, Paul says that in Galatians, too, by the way, that if they've given to you spiritual blessings, riches, then you should share your carnal with them. And I've said this on the radio. It's not original with me. I heard Dr. Johnson down in Bible Town in Florida. I've heard him say it several times, and I think it's good. You ought to support the place that you get your blessing. Well, you wouldn't do it this way. Suppose you go down and you eat at a certain restaurant. Well, you don't go down the street and pay the restaurant on the other corner for the meal that you had at the other restaurant. Now, a lot of people are doing that spiritually. And this is a good place for me to make very personal application. Now, a great many people tell us that they get a spiritual blessing from the program. I read a letter, and may I say that this lady didn't go down to the restaurant in the next corner and pay her bill down there. She sent a generous offering to this program. This is where she gets her blessing. Now, if you don't get a blessing, I wouldn't support it. I'd certainly say that. And Paul is very frank along this line. I see no reason why I shouldn't be in making this application. Now, he says this, if others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we've not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Now, he doesn't want to do anything to hinder the gospel of Christ, and therefore he doesn't receive anything. Now, may I be very frank and make application with you? Some of my friends kid me about this. I received no salary from radio, and I'm still able to say that, and I want to be very frank. There have been some very wonderful people. And actually, God's been better to me since I retired than he ever was before. Because, again, it was a question of feeding a horse, and then I was being fed by somebody else. But now I'm depending on the Lord. And, oh, I wish I'd done this before, because he's wonderful. I'm not complaining. What I'm trying to say to you is this. That the reason that I have adopted this policy is not to hinder the teaching of the Word of God. For the very simple reason, there are religious rackets today. To say they're not is to be as blind as a bat. And I believe that today many men make merchandise of the gospel of Christ. Now, I don't want to get into that position. So I've taken this place, and it did mean quite a sacrifice for a while. But the Lord has been so good, I just can't tell you how good he's been. And therefore, I want to continue the policy so that I won't hinder the teaching of the Word. No one can come along and say truthfully that Vernon McGee, the reason he's staying on that radio and teaching the Word of God, because he really gets a big salary. But the Lord's been good to me. Oh, how good. Now, let me go on with this, because Oh, this has such personal application. He says, do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Now, that's God's method. And it's not wrong, therefore, for the minister, that's a blessing to people to be supported. And I've discovered that when people receive a blessing, that they, for the most part, they do support the place where they get their blessing. Now he goes on, but I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me, for it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glory in void. Paul says, I'm going to be able to say to you that you are not supporting me. You may be supporting the gospel, but not me. I'm not receiving anything for you. And Paul didn't take a salary either. You see, he did tent making. Well, I can't make tents. Well, I can write books, and I also can hold conferences. So I'm in the tent making business in a way. Now he says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Now, if I cancel this radio ministry, I won't lose my salvation. But I tell you, woe is me. And I want to be very frank with you. Necessity is laid upon me. I dare not. Why, may I say to you, it's like a taskmaster with a lash that says every day at this same time on your radio station, McGee, you better be ready. If you are not, why, you'll not be on long after that. You have to do this. Well, that's my liberty. And you know what? I do it because I like. Now, verse 17. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. Thank God for that. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. And that permits us to say, I'm not doing this for an ulterior motive, but I'm expecting a reward someday from him. And I don't think I'm going to be disappointed. He says, what is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Now he gives this very familiar passage. Unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Now, Paul says, I'm doing all of this because I'm out on the race course. I'm like an athlete out there running. Running for what? A prize. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And may I say, let's get out on the race course together, friend. You and I together can run a race, and in a human race, Daniel, only one can come in first. But both of us can come in first if we're trying to get the Word of God out. Now, Paul says, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. Paul says, I'm not shadow boxing. I'm not playing post office. I'm not playing at this thing. I'm not playing church. This thing is real, but I keep under my body. Bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway, is our translation. That's unfortunate. The word is dokimos, and it should be disapproved. Paul's thinking now the judgment seat of Christ, where rewards are given. In the next epistle of Corinthians, the second epistle, he'll talk about that, that we all are to appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive a reward. Now, Paul says, I'm out on the racetrack trying to run so I'm going to get a reward. And that's the reason that I'm preaching the gospel like I am. Now, Paul says, I have liberty. I don't have to come in here every day, friends, and make these tapes. It's not easy to make them, and it takes a lot of work, and I'm retired. I ought to go and sit in a corner. But you want to know something? I don't want to sit in a corner. It's the last thing in the world I want to do. And I do pray that when the Lord gets through with me, He'll take me. I don't want to, you know, be just around twiddling my thumbs. Paul says I'm out on a race course, and I'm running for a purpose. I want to receive a reward. And I think every Christian ought to work for a reward. I don't work for salvation. That was given to me. I was saved by grace. But my friend, if I'm going to get a reward, I'm going to have work for it. And I say that to you today. You're going to get a reward. You better get out on a race course. Let's get out and jog a little together. It's great to get the Word of God out in these days.